I spent a week in the hospital. Afterwards, they kept me sedated for 3 days. Mm-hmm. So prior to, I made up a bunch of nut butter thinking it would last for those 3 months that I was off, like with our current sales rate. And so I'm like, you shouldn't have to do anything. You know, like I got enough made up. Like we won't have to worry about it. So I was sedated for those 3 days. On the fourth day, they like took down like the medicine so that I'd wake up. And I woke up to Mark shaking me. And he's like, Leah, I need the recipes for your nut butter. All of it sold. He's like, I shipped it out in 3 days.
Hi, friends. You've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real-life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together. Hi, friends. We are opening season 3 with Leah Hurley. Leah is a stage 4 cancer survivor, wife, mother, and the founder of American Dream Nut Butter. What began as a way to nourish her body during recovery turned into a thriving company that now serves over 1 million customers nationwide. Through every season, from illness to entrepreneurship, Leah has seen firsthand how God makes a way where there seems to be none. Her story is one of healing, obedience, and purpose. And she's passionate about encouraging others to trust God's plan, even in the wilderness. Hi, guys. Welcome back to Karina Faith Diaries. Today, we have Leah Hurley in the house. She is the founder of American Dream Nut Butter. I love it. So she has a story or a history of stage 4 cancer, and we're going to learn all about it. So I love that we have that in common, too. And I heard that you are healed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which that gives me a lot of hope. And I know a lot of you are going through some kind of something diagnosis like this. And that would be, I'm praying that it will be encouraging and awesome for us to hear Leah's story. So welcome.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I'm happy to have you here. Are you the only child? Do you have siblings? Or?
I have 9 brothers and sisters. Oh, I'm the baby of 10.
Wow.
And I was actually raised by teenage boys. Like my teenage brothers raised me, took care of me. My dad worked all the time. My parents got divorced. No, my dad worked at Ford. And then my mom, she just had like a bunch of jobs, you know, once her and my dad got divorced.
Yeah.
So she worked a lot. And we lived with my dad, but he wasn't ever there.
Yeah.
Like, because he worked so much. He worked like 14-hour days, 7 days a week.
Wow.
And had an alcohol problem. So like when he was there, it's like it wasn't a good situation.
Yeah.
You know?
It's almost better that he wasn't there.
Yeah. And so I think that's what's made me like how I am now, like so resilient, is like how I was brought up. You know, there was a lot of different elements going on, you know, not always like having food to eat, not always having like anything to drink but water, like out of the tap, you know, that kind of thing. Or eating pizza every night for dinner because I had my brother's girlfriend worked at a pizza place and we could get it for free. So we had pizza all the time. So I'm like, I will never eat Pizza King pizza ever again in my life because I'm just
you
done.
You had to share.
Yeah, I'm done.
I just love that God can use all of that to shape us, right?
Yeah.
It's like in the moment, it's probably awful to live through that. But looking back now,
the funny thing is I didn't notice that anything was strange.
Really?
Because when that's all you know, like my parents got divorced. My mom left when I was 1.
Wow.
And she told my 14-year-old brother to take care of me. And so he did. Like my siblings dropped out of school. Like my brothers didn't finish high school. They either got jobs or one of them took care of me. He's like my parent, you know?
Wow.
It just makes you like I said, I didn't think anything was different. I thought that's how everyone lived.
Yes.
And so until I got older, you know, or went to a friend's house and I'm like,
this is strange.
You have a mom and a dad, like both here. You have a bedtime. Like they tell you when to go to bed. And like, there's always food. Like they cook you dinner. Like this is weird.
Yes. Wow. That is different.
Yeah. But I mean, so what I take from that is like, bloom where you're planted, you know? And so, no, I didn't have like the best childhood, but I am so grateful to my brothers for what they did because I look at my kids that are their age now. Like I have a son who's 14 and I'm like, I could not imagine leaving
taking
and
care.
Being like, here, here's this one-year-old, you know, take care of your sibling, you know, and like...
That's a lot, yeah. Especially for boys too. Because yeah. mother, you know, I feel yeah. like women has this, I mean, most women have a motherly instinct yeah. and to ask that of boys, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. And so, and my brother, like I'm, you know, he's very like, they're sensitive. And I think because of like how they grew up and stuff like that. So he always tells me that it was like one of his greatest joys was to be able to take care of me. And like, he doesn't regret it. Made him a better dad. He has two girls. You know, it made him a better mm-hmm. dad to like have practice. Like I was his first pancake.
Oh
you
my know? Gosh. I'm like bawling already.
Yeah. So
that is so sweet.
Pretty amazing when you think about it. And so like, I'm glad, you know, even though like looking back, you know, or like you go to therapy and like I tell like a therapist my story, I had one of them say, I'm going to need a few minutes to process that. And I'm like, take your time. I'll be here when you're ready. I'm good.
Wow. No, I feel the same way. I'm just like, I was not expecting that. So that's incredible. Like what a incredible human being. And you guys, so I'm assuming you all have a great relationship then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he lives in Texas now.
Okay.
But we still stay close and talk all the time and, yeah. you know.
So would you say that he was like a lot like your father figure?
Yeah, or... I call him like my mother figure, actually. Oh, yes. You know, like my dad did stop drinking. Like he retired when I was 13 and okay. he stopped drinking. And so then I did get to spend a lot of time with my dad because he was like around a lot more and like, you know, sober and all those yeah. things. And so I did get to end up having a better relationship with him and my mom, too. Like once I got a little bit older.
Okay. She came around then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I found out later on because like they kept a lot of things from me when I was little so mm-hmm. that I wouldn't know. But I guess she had said in the divorce decree that she wanted me back when I was easier to take care of.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, I didn't find that out till I was an adult, you know,
wow.
but I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, yes. you know, not that I was a brat, but just that I was little and she had a bunch of jobs.
Sure.
Cause like I did ask her about it and she's like, well, I was working three jobs at the yeah. time. And like, you
it's
know,
hard
I'm like,
to take
I know, I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, because like I'm a mom
moms,
too.
Yes.
Yeah. And I work 16-hour days now with the business 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Before that, I was an ultrasound tech. I did 3 12- to 14-hour days and every Saturday.
And you still did
and
not
I
prevent
still,
you
yeah,
to...
I homeschool my kids. Like,
what?
You know,
oh my gosh, you're
they're
like an overachiever.
My everything.
Wow.
But I've been accused of being a smother mother or like, you know,
yeah.
keep them too close kind of thing.
Oh.
But I'm like, I think. The way that I grew up made me be like such a better parent because mm-hmm. I'm like, my kids will never feel the way I felt.
Yeah.
You know, they'll never have that like unwanted feeling or like they're a burden. And I maybe wouldn't have that if I hadn't experienced it myself.
Yeah.
You know, I might let like, you know, the things that I have to do for business, like I work a lot and now I'm starting to do a lot of PR where I have to travel to these mm-hmm. different cities and things like that and like do these appearances. We take them with us.
Oh, that's
you know?
Awesome.
Like, yeah, I just always like put them first above everything, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, that definitely taught you too. I feel like to me, it took me a while when I finally had freedom because I had my kids when I was 24 years old. So 25, 26, 27. So I was still like sort of growing up too, you know, in a sense. And I just wanted my freedom so badly. And now like what when I get to do things like this to travel, I always make an excuse to spend time with them too and like bring one
yeah.
along and do things like that because it's pretty precious. Okay, so was there anything specific that made your dad quit drinking or was it he was just over it?
I think he must have just decided he was done. I don't know if he was just like done with the lifestyle
mm-hmm.
or what, but he did once I was an adult he like had a conversation with me and apologized
oh, wow.
for what it was like when I was little, you know, for the drinking and
wow.
all of that stuff. And he's like, now that you're older, if you can look at it like from my perspective, he's like, I just know that I came home from work one night. Everything was gone. My wife was gone. I was left with all these kids. And like,
yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to do. Yeah. Or like what to do. And so he just worked and drank and, you know, and I'm like,
it's
well, now I get
pain.
That, you know, because like, my dad was my age now when that happened.
Wow.
You know, like, because I'm 40. He uh-huh. was about 40 when that happened.
That's
and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I couldn't imagine.
To take care of, yes.
Yeah. Or, like, if my husband did that to me, just, like, I show up one day and he's like, I'm done. Like,
yeah, bye.
Oh, okay. You know, what do I do now?
Yeah.
You know?
With 9 children.
Yeah. Which I was the youngest. Some of them are a lot older than me because the first nine are like all a year or two apart. And then I was 9 years after the ninth kid.
Oh, okay.
So that's why there was such like a disconnect in ages.
Okay, got it.
Between like me being so small and then like I said, the next one was nine up to like 20. My oldest brother's 20.
Okay.
And so like he and my sister, I have nieces and nephews that are the same age as me. We're 6 months apart.
Wow, I can see that.
And like we grew up like siblings, you know, because of that.
When did Jesus came into play in your life?
Well, my uncle was a pastor. So my dad, you know, who was alcoholic and, you know, all kind of wild, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
His brother is the complete opposite.
So he was the black sheep, quote unquote.
Not really. I would say like, because it was just him and his brother.
Oh, okay.
And so like his brother was like, I'd call him like the good one and the bad one almost, you know, like the rebel and the angel, you know. And so my uncle was a pastor. And so my dad, once he quit drinking, like we just always went to church.
Okay.
So like every Sunday, you know, I was at Sunday school, you know, at my uncle's church. And I just really... I think I really felt like accepted, I guess you'd say, by God, because like Jesus loves everybody. So even though I felt unwanted by a lot of my family members, you know, just because even though my brothers were trying, they were teenagers. So like besides my one brother who was like my mom, you know, I could tell most of them didn't want to be watching me.
Wow.
You know, or would be like complaining, you know, if I was hungry or whatever. So like
just feel like a burden.
Yeah, I felt like a burden to everybody.
You got to know Jesus through your uncle's church then.
Yeah.
And you were young still, right?
Yes, I was young.
Okay.
So like we started going to my uncle's church when I was eight. Like that's the first time I got baptized was when I was eight.
Okay.
And was always like in Sunday school and things like that. And so it just never, like since I was brought up that way, it never occurred to me that like that there was an option that like people didn't believe in Jesus or like to even question anything because I'd been told it since I was little.
Okay.
You know, that like this is how it is and like that's kind of how my kids are too. Like they don't have the doubt or like, you know, because they've just always been brought up that way that like, you know, when times are hard, you pray about it. When, you know what I mean? Jesus loves everybody. And we love everybody and we forgive everybody. You know, we're going through some things right now, like with my mom and, you know, I'm trying to like not harbor any like bitterness or resentment or things like that. And like, I remind myself all the time that like Jesus says, in order for us to be forgiven, we also have to forgive, you know? And so
have to remind me of that a lot too.
And so it just, having grown up in the church and knowing the word, you know, studying the Bible and all of those things ever since I was little, it just helped me all later on in life, like when I had cancer or, you know, experienced other, you know, hard things, you know, the endometriosis and I have a lot of health issues and stuff like that. And then the thing going on with my mom right now, you know, it's just like, God has been there for everything, every step of the way. And like, we struggled with infertility for 4 years before we got pregnant. And I remember just like, I would pray, like, God, just give me one baby, you know, just one. That's all I need is one, you know, like, I just really want to be a mom. And like, I just need one. And then he gave me four.
Wow.
And then like,
after all these challenges.
Yeah. After the 4 years of not being able to get pregnant and then ended up getting pregnant on my own right before. And then had three more like in succession, like they're all like 18 months to 2 years apart.
Wow.
Just back to back.
Okay, that's a miracle story, like right off the bat, right? Because when you think, well, I wanted to say with this is that your life has not been perfect. You know, like you had so many things happening, which we were going to dive into the cancer thing in the company here in a minute. But I just wanted to say that Jesus did not promise us that life will be easy in a breeze, you know, and I feel like that's a misconception from a lot of people who think, oh, isn't she a Christian? And why isn't she having the life of her dreams or whatever? And I think that it's the most important thing is the peace in the chaos. That's what we get by following Jesus, right? It's just knowing that he's taking care of us despite what the circumstances look like.
Yeah. And if I hadn't experienced all these challenges before, I wouldn't have things to hold on to, like proof that God works, proof that he moves mountains and can do anything, if I had not experienced these challenges before. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, when the business gets in a slump or you have a falling out with somebody or they're, you know, a cancer diagnosis, you can know he's done it before. He'll do it again. I just have to wait. And waiting is the hardest part. I'm in a waiting season right now. And so I keep having to tell myself and look back and remind myself, mm-hmm. like, look at where I came from, like in my childhood. Yes. Look at, you know, I've been through infertility. We've been through cancer, like, you know, some of the hardest things he's brought me through.
Yes.
So like, I just have to be patient. And like, I always pray about everything, like mm-hmm. all big decisions, you know, or things like that. Like, what should I do? And I don't always get an answer right away. And I'm like,
the same season as you, because I'm like, God, man. I've been asking you for this one. I'm like, for I've a been long good. Time.
Like, come on.
So like, and I just need an answer. Like, I just, yeah. I need a direction I'm for like, something.
Yes.
And he hasn't been very clear.
I know. I'm like, even if it's a no,
yes.
like it, at this I point, if it's a no, just tell me. Yes. Like, come on.
There's something that he's teaching us in the process. And I feel like I'm very similar to you in that sense. Waiting and patient is very hard for me. I have some other gifts,
yeah.
fruits of the spirit. But right. patience yeah, is not one of them.
Yeah, no.
And I was just talking to my son the other day too, because anytime I was just praying for patience the other day too, and humility and things like that. And I was put in a situation that I was very upset about. And the type of thing that like my blood was boiling and I wanted to say something and he prevented me from saying mm-hmm. something. And I'm glad that I didn't, because if I had in that situation, it just wouldn't have been
yeah, nice. It wouldn't have added anything to it.
It wouldn't. Yeah. And it would make me look bad too. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, Lord, thank you so much. I can see now that the situation that you put me in is what I've been praying for.
Yeah.
You know, like, give me patience. And he's like, here is an opportunity for you to exercise your patience.
That is so funny, because like I had when I did ultrasound, I had a boss who like was really into her faith too. Mm-hmm. And she always told me, never pray for patience, because yes. God's gonna give you what yes, you ask for. She's like, and it's never good.
I'm gonna stop right now.
I know, because like I was tempted, and like I prayed for it before, and then you yes. get into this situation, and you're just like, why?
And it's just like, would I ever be good at? Because can we possibly have all the gifts?
Of yeah, this? You can't
you
have
know,
all.
You
of them.
Can't.
Yeah,
exactly.
Too. Like, maybe patience is yours.
Yes.
Mine is no sense of direction at all.
I'm gonna call that. Yes, that's good. So then, okay, you guys had issues with infertility, and then ended up getting pregnant on your own, which is mm-hmm. incredible. Then 4 kids. When did this cancer come about?
So I had cancer for 10 years and didn't know it.
Oh.
So I got pregnant at 24.
Okay.
Right before I got pregnant, I'd had a surgery to remove a cyst. I had a cyst the size of like a grapefruit.
In your ovary?
In my ovary, okay. Yeah. And also endometriosis, which was one of the things preventing me from getting pregnant. So they went in and to remove the cyst and the endometriosis. And my husband said they came out and told him that her appendix is enlarged and inflamed. We think it's about to burst. We need to take that too. And so he's just like, okay, you know, and like when I woke up, they're like, oh, we had to take your appendix. And I'm like, okay, never thought anything more about it uh-huh. until it was like, when was that? 2018, I got diagnosed. And so like for 5 years prior to that, I was really sick. Okay. Like I couldn't eat anything but turkey and rice and nut butter because everything I ate made me sick. So I started cutting out like the normal offenders, cut out okay. dairy first, then mm-hmm. I cut out gluten, then I cut out all like FODMAPs, which are like not easily digested carbs, then I cut out all fruit, all vegetables, like
wow.
you know, I was down to turkey, rice, nut butter, and water. Like I
That's
couldn't
crazy.
Drink anything else either but water. And I had lots of other symptoms too. I was having anxiety attacks that I'd never had before. I had like where I was sweating really bad, and like mm-hmm. I don't sweat. Like,
yeah.
I don't have to wear deodorant. Like, and if I go outside and it's hot out, my body doesn't sweat. So I just feel like I'm going to die. So, like, I don't do the heat because I don't sweat
wow.
to, like, you know, get, like,
That's
to regulate
not a good
your
thing.
Body temperature.
Yeah, because
yeah.
you need to eliminate
it, yeah, it's not a good yeah. thing. But it was abnormal for me to be so sweaty and, like, stinky. Like, to
yeah.
be completely honest, it was, like, stinky sweat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, something is not right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until, you know, a couple of years later that like as they're, you know, doing blood work and everything was normal, doing all these tests, everything is normal. I finally started having pain in my abdomen. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm just going to like illegally scan myself because yes. I was an ultrasound tech.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm like, I'm just going to take a look and see, like, I think it's maybe my gallbladder.
Yeah.
And my doctor wouldn't order a test for it. So I'm just going to look. So I put the probe down and I see this mass and there's all this blood flow to it and everything. So I'm like, crap. Like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
So I took it to my radiologist And he was like, this isn't you, is it? And I was like, well, actually it is. And he's like, well, I think you have stomach cancer and you need to call your doctor and order this test and this test and this test. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like finding this out at work, you know?
Oh my gosh, no, it makes me crazy that the doctor wouldn't order an ultrasound. Like this is something so simple too.
Yeah, yeah. Because they just like, they kept chalking it up to IBS and anxiety attacks and like, you know,
anxiety doesn't come from nothing. There's a reason.
Like they just kept wanting to put me on medicine. And I'm like, I'm telling you, it's not normal for me to be this way. Because like, and my husband's like, yeah, like anxiety is not her thing. Like he would always say she has, I don't give a crap itis because like, I don't care about things I should. Because I'm just like, it'll work out. You know,
that's me. Yes.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Wow. So he knew it was not normal. And it's sad that they wouldn't listen to you too. Yeah. Like we know better. It's our body.
Yeah. And so I found the mass. He thought it was stomach cancer. They did all these testing, did a biopsy, and then turns out it wasn't stomach cancer. Mm. So, the doctor that did the scope and the biopsy, he called and left it on my voicemail. Well, because I was at work and couldn't answer my phone. It was 5 p.m. on a Friday night. He left me a voicemail that said, you have stage 4 neuroendocrine cancer. And I'm like, I'm listening to it in between patients. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like writing it down, stage 4 neuroendocrine cancer. But like I had to just put it aside for a minute because I still had 2 more patients to scan, write up their tests, clean my room. Like, you know what I mean?
Like
I had
to finish my job. Like 0
yeah, too. I had to finish my job. And so I just like put on my smile and like, you know, go out there, finish my patients. And so then after I'm all done, like I call Mark, that's my husband, like when I was getting ready to leave. And I'm like, they said I have stage 4 neuroendocrine cancer. Like, I don't even know what that is, like what that means.
You couldn't call anyone because it's Friday night.
It's Friday night. I could get no answers. Yeah.
Wow.
So I had to wait all weekend. And so all weekend, I'm just like, I still have a picture on my phone that I took of my 2-year-old at the time. He was my youngest. And like, his sister had put his hair in a little ponytail, like a little whale spout yes. on his head. And I remember like looking at him and that picture at that time being like, I don't know if I'm going to be here to see him grow up. You know, like this is crazy. And my kids were ages 2 to 8 at the time.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So I spent all weekend Googling it, and that was the worst thing I could have done because the survival rate is like next to nothing for that type of cancer. It doesn't respond to chemo or radiation. They have to just cut it out. So usually by the time it's stage 4, it's spread so everywhere that they can't remove it all. But
so why was it stage 4? Was it the size of it?
It's because the spread.
Oh, it spread.
Because it was in a lymph node. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And they said it does not originate there.
So it came from somewhere.
It had to come from somewhere. But they couldn't find it. Like I had a PET scan. They couldn't find it. Like the originator spot.
Wow.
So turns out the hospital lost my records from that surgery I had where they removed my appendix. And so the oncologist said that that had to be what it was. It originated then in the appendix back when I was 24. And I got diagnosed at 34. So it had grown that whole time right alongside my babies and everything else the whole time, all 4 times I was pregnant. I had cancer every time and did not know it. Growing in my lymph node right there and had no clue. But the other crazy thing is, this is why I know God has a hand in it. So I was going to be a pediatrician is what I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. I got accepted to Butler and Anderson to like go do my prereqs mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But then I was like, I found out that I was going to have all these fertility issues. I was 17 when I started having cysts on my ovaries and all these things. And they're like, if you want to have kids, you're going to have to do it early. So like, consider that when you're like looking for like career choices and stuff.
Wow. You can be a doctor and try to have babies at the same time.
And so I was like, I'm going to take a year off because I don't know exactly what I want to do. And I graduated early. I was 17 because I'd went to kindergarten early. Okay. So I was 17 when I graduated. So I'm like, I have time to take a year and see what I want. So I'm like, I'm going to take a year off and I'm going to get a job at a tanning salon because I think that'll be an easy job and I'll be able to like study, you know, like go to school on the side and study.
Sure.
So I got out the phone book because this was back in the phone book days.
Sure, I remember.
And I called every tanning salon within like a so many mile radius of me. And I ended up getting a job at this one that was like kind of far, like from my house. But I'm like, it's okay, you know, like it'll be easy, whatever. So it turns out that my now sister-in-law was my boss at that tanning salon.
Oh my gosh.
So I met her and then like shortly after that, met her brother. Okay. And that's who I'm married to now. But like when I got my job there, I met him within like 3 days of starting there.
What?
And it's so funny because like I was talking to my friend, like looking out the window, and he pulled up to get a pizza at the place next door. And I saw him get out and I'm like, oh my gosh,
he's so cute.
I think that's Cheryl is my sister-in-law's name. I think that's Cheryl's brother. Like, I think his name's Matt. He's hot. His name's not Matt, but like I thought it was.
Oh my gosh.
And so then when his sister had came back up there that night to help me close, because I just started and didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. She's like, my brother saw you in the window and asked me to talk to you for him or whatever. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I saw him and thought he was hot. And she's like, ugh, like hated her brother kind of thing, you know? But so then he came up there the next night to like meet me and then walk me out or whatever. We have spent every day together since.
Oh my gosh.
We have not been apart even for like a night, even though we've had to go, like he went and did some trainings, you know, at some point he would drive 2 hours each way so that we've never spent time away from each other.
That's incredible.
And it's been like, that was 2003. So it's been however many years now, coming up on 22 years.
Okay, I love honey buns, but I love my nights alone too. We were just talking about this the other day. I'm like, he's away now for spring break with our son. And I'm like, I just love, because I'm never alone. And he said, I enjoy my solitude. And he's like, honey, that's because you're never alone. And that's true. You know, I'm like, I need to recharge my batteries. But that is really impressive that you guys are that tight.
Yeah, he's like downstairs waiting for me now.
Oh my gosh, that's too cute.
And we work together all the time. And I think, and like, yeah, we fight like normal people fight, you know, sometimes and argue, but like we'd rather be together than apart. So like we work together all day, all night, 24/7. People are like, how do you handle that? Like we were just talking about that last night because one of his friends was asking him like, how do you handle like, you know, you guys work together, eat together, you live together. Like, how do you handle that? And he's like, it's so crazy because like we don't even think about it because whenever we're apart, it seems not right.
Wow.
Like everything's better when we're together. And like I could be like, you know, I have a lot of health issues and stuff like that. So like let's say he's gone, you know, working, like because he goes and works at the shop a lot. I work mostly from home now because like as the CEO I have a different job.
Sure.
And so he manages the shop a lot. So like he'll be gone and be there and I'm like, man, my stomach is so messed up today, like I just don't feel good. And then as soon as he's home I feel better. And I'm like, how is that? That like me feeling good is dependent on you being here. Like,
oh, I love that. Okay, so then you get this news. That's awful. Sorry. Awful things that, I mean, just the doctors. I hope you didn't stay with this doctor because.
Well, no. And
I
then,
was going to say fired.
That's what I was saying the crazy thing was. So I met my sister-in-law who told me, you know, you should do what my cousin's doing. She's an x-ray tech. All she does is push a button and makes a lot of money.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, okay sure. I'm going to look into this.
Yeah.
And so I went and job shadowed and like I had ultrasounds before because I had all like the cysts and all those things on my ovaries. So I'm like, it'd be pretty cool to be an ultrasound tech. So I went and job shadowed and I'm like, oh, this is neat. But to get into the program, like 1,000 people apply, they take 10.
Oh.
So I'm like, man, I don't even know if I'll get it. You know, like I probably won't. But if I get it, then that's what I meant to do. And if I don't, then I'm not. So I got in. So I'm like, I guess I'm being an ultrasound tech. Like it wasn't even like, you know.
It just like
happened. It just happened. Yeah, I guess I'm being an ultrasound tech. But had I not been an ultrasound tech, I wouldn't have found my cancer. I was actually scanning myself when I was pregnant too and discovered a bleed with every kid that I had to go on bed rest for 4 months. Like had I not found these bleeds, I would have had miscarriages and not carried them full term.
That's insane.
Yeah, because they'd put me on bed rest. And then as soon as I would get up to do something, like they'd take me off at 37 weeks, I'd have the baby at 37 weeks. So like I pretty much spent like the whole pregnancy almost like laying down.
That is crazy. And that's crazy that you had the capability of finding all of these.
So now I'm like, I have my own ultrasound machine because I'm like, I have to be able to, check myself, check my kids, like, you know, but had I not been an ultrasound tech, then I would not have, you know, been able to find those things or know what I was looking at when I was seeing them and like know so much about medical things and the body had I not been trained in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they had diagnosed my cancer earlier, they had a special CT scan that they can do for neuroendocrine now because, like I said, it doesn't behave like any other cancer. Mm-hmm. So the PET scan they normally have, which is like glucose-based, doesn't work for that kind of cancer.
Oh.
It's a different kind of like radioactive isotope that they use to, you know, see the cancer spread.
Okay.
And that had came out the year that I got diagnosed. And I'm like, if that's not God's timing, then I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, had I been diagnosed sooner, yeah, I could have like maybe got it taken out sooner, but they wouldn't have known the spread or known that it hadn't originated somewhere else. And I would have had even more things to do, you know, to get rid of it, I think. And then also, butter never would have been born. I would never have had this business that I hadn't started making nut butter for myself and had all these food challenges and things like that.
So yeah, walk us through that. So you found out that you had it, and then how was life after that? Like,
Well, I had already started the nut butter business before I found out I had cancer, like shortly before.
Why? Because of all of your issues?
Yeah. Like, so I was making the nut butter for myself because I had all the food issues. Uh-huh. And I figured out that I could make the nut butters taste like dessert. And so, like, I didn't need to eat cheesecake and then feel bad, or eat a brownie and then get sick.
Yeah,
I could make my nut butter taste like that. How? And just and still, by the different, like, ingredients, flavorings, and protein and things like that that I add to it. So most of them have, like, less than 1 gram of added sugar or less than 2 grams of added sugar because I use stevia or monk fruit or something like that. And then I use different flavorings to make it taste that way without using the actual, like, there's no brownie in it. There's no cheesecake in it. It just tastes like there is.
Wow.
So I was doing that for myself.
Okay.
And then my husband, he had a t-shirt company, like a fitness apparel company that he like used the money to give back to veterans, first responders, like that kind of thing. And so we were really in with like bodybuilding people, like and would go to their competitions. We had a lot of friends who were bodybuilders. Like one of them's Mr. Olympia right now.
Wow.
Was like a friend that we've had for like the last 10 years from having this t-shirt company before.
Wow.
But at any rate, he's like, I think that you need to take this to one of these bodybuilding shows. Our friends would love it, you know? And I'm like, no, nobody will like it. I don't want to do it. Like, I'm that kind of person that's like, hide, blend into the wall, you know? Like, I don't want to do that. So he and a friend took it without my knowledge to a bodybuilding show, and everybody loved it. Like, we didn't even have anything for them to buy. He just took it to, like, for them to try it. Yeah. And so then they started, like, calling me or DMing me on Instagram. Like, can I come to your house and you can just fill up a mason jar? And I'm like, okay. So that's how it was born. Like, started in my basement. I have a kitchen down there. I have a son with a peanut allergy. So I would always make it in our basement kitchen. Like, we have an in-laws apartment kind of thing.
Sure.
So I would make it down there so that it wasn't contaminating his food upstairs. And so people would just show up and I would do that, or they'd message me and be like, you know, can you make one that tastes like my favorite Starbucks drink? And I'm like, I'll give it a shot, you know, and then I'd ship it out to them.
And they love it.
And they loved it. And so then I found out that, like, if you're going to ship, like, within the United States, you have to have a commercial kitchen. So I'm like, well, crap. Like, we're done. You know, you need a commercial kitchen.
Yeah.
And my husband's like, hold on. You know, let me look at some things or whatever. So my wingman, you know, he goes and he finds this place that we could afford to turn into a commercial kitchen. And it was a lot of money, like, for us then, you know, it was $4,000 a month. And we're like, oh, my gosh, that's four times what we pay for our house. Like, how's this ever going to work? But then it did. Like, God gave us the funds for it. You know, like, we ended up, you know, being able to get it. Because Mark's like, well, let's just try it. You know, we have the money to try it for a month. Like, let's see where it goes. And then, you know, we sold enough that it paid for it.
And that's a leap of faith, too, that we have to. God's going to open doors, but we have to.
You got to step through it.
We do. Yes.
And so during that time period, you know, I'm making butter. And, like, that's pretty much what I'm doing. Like, I'm working the 3 12-to-14-hour days still.
Wow.
On my days off, homeschooling and making nut butter and shipping it to people, and on the weekends, like,
so you had your full-time job.
Had my full-time job too for a year before like I got to leave that. And so I was doing that. My dad passed away that summer that I had started butter.
Wow.
And then I found out I had cancer in November of that same year.
And what was the year?
2018.
Okay.
And so
that's the same year that I found out about my cancer. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's wild.
I know. Yeah. And I had an appendix surgery too that wasn't, like, I know there's so many similarities to our story. I'm like, I need to start a nut butter business.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, but yeah, well, my business was a leap of faith too. Yeah. You know, it's just so interesting to hear that. So you lost your dad, and then
So I lost my dad, who was like a huge supporter of everything we did. Like, even with the clothing business that we had, he was always wearing a t-shirt, always wearing a hat, like, you know what I mean? Actually, when he passed away, that was one of his things that he had in the hospital. Like, when they were getting his things, was his hat from our business. So that's like the one thing that I have from him is that hat. But so when I had my cancer diagnosis, I had to have a huge surgery where they like cut me from sternum to pubis. They took out the mass, which was in the porta hepatis near like my stomach, gallbladder, and pancreas. Mm-hmm. So they removed the mass. They took out my gallbladder, part of my liver. And then they had to take out all of my intestines and comb through them to look for masses and put them back in. Then they had to take out my other organs to look behind them for masses and then put everything back in. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just the thought of that is giving me... That's...
And I used to like be in surgery with people. So like I know what they do. Like. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like they're about to like retract my ribs. And like, oh. But I kind of like... I handled it better than everyone else in my family did, honestly, really? Because I just went into like patient mode. Mm-hmm. I looked at it like outside of my body. Like, yeah. This is a patient who's going through this and I'm just like helping them through this like part of it. Mm-hmm. Like I just did it and went through the motions. Okay, I got to have this test now. Okay, now we're going to have this surgery and I'm going to recover. But the surgery was, I had to be off for 3 months, like because like off work for 3 months, not doing hardly anything. My husband had to be off too because we have the four small kids and I couldn't bathe myself. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get to the bathroom.
For 3 months?
For a few weeks, okay. I was that limited.
Yeah.
I spent a week in the hospital. Afterwards, they kept me sedated for 3 days. Uh-huh. So prior to, I made up a bunch of nut butter thinking it would last for those 3 months that I was off, mm-hmm. like with our current sales rate. And so I'm like, you shouldn't have to do anything. You know, like I got enough made up. Like we won't have to worry about it. So I was sedated for those 3 days. On the fourth day, they like took down like the medicine so that I'd wake up. And I woke up to Mark shaking me. And he's like, Leah, I need the recipes for their nut butter. All of it sold. He's like, I shipped it out in 3 days. We were okay. So let me back up. We were so like scared that we were not going to be able to pay our house payment, that we weren't going to be able to buy food. My friends at work were donating their PTO to us. Our neighbors were giving us gift cards to the grocery store. A woman that I went to high school with, like an old friend I hadn't seen in 10 years, got her church to bring us food from their food pantry because like we were that like destitute, you know, like that desperate in that moment. And like, but we just had to do it anyway. I had to have the surgery. He had to be off. Like there was no other way around it. Well, like, we'll just figure it out. We have to put it on credit cards or borrow money from my brother or my mom. Like, you know, we'll figure it out. And so he wakes me up, you know, and tells me that all of that sold or whatever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm trying to write down the recipes for him so that he can go make it, you know, while I'm in the hospital. So the big crazy thing is that like in that time that we were so worried and praying for God to like find a way, you know, for it. And I figured the way would be getting money from somebody else, you know, mm-hmm. borrowing it from my brother or something like that. But his way was butter taking off and it skyrocketed. Yeah. Skyrocketed from there. And like my husband ended up not going back to work. He put a recliner in the area where we made butter. He set me up a recliner there so I could tell him, okay, put this in now. Okay, put this in now because it wow. wasn't tasting right when he was making it. So I had to supervise it all.
That's just so cool.
But yeah, and I remember like when I was in the hospital and like I'd had an epidural, a fentanyl epidural was what they used to keep me asleep. And so wow. I couldn't move my legs. Like even when I woke up, I couldn't move my legs. It was like when you have a baby. Mm-hmm. But they kept expecting me to get up and go to the bathroom. And I'm like, I still can't feel my legs. Like I can't get up to go to the bathroom. And the nurse was being kind of mean and like whatever. Yeah. But my husband, he's like, I'm small. I'm 5'2", 105 pounds. He's 6'3", and like 240 okay. pounds. And carry. So he just picked me up and took me to the bathroom. Mm. And the nurse was like, must be nice to just have somebody to carry you around like that.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like I'm you in the medical field.
You were certainly not blessed with so good I'm like, doctors. Yeah. It doesn't seem like.
And I'm like, I would never treat a patient like that. No. Number one, that had just had this horrible surgery and had cancer and like, you know what wow. I mean? All of these things. I would never be that mean to somebody. But I just looked at her and I was like, you know what? It is nice. And I hope you have that one day.
Oh,
you know,
that's sweet of you.
Brat.
Yeah.
But you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, but the Jesus in me is like, you know, yes. be kind. But then I'm like,
yeah, I'm lady. Glad we have Jesus too. Not just because there's many yeah. times that I'm like,
I don't know, like bite my tongue. Like, yeah, not that.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, we come home and I remember this too. When I first came home, my husband came and he dropped me off at home and he left our 8-year-old daughter to take care of me until he got back from going to get the other kids from his mom and dad's.
Oh, wow.
So he brings in my youngest and he's almost 3 at the time. And he runs in, he gives me a big hug and he goes, "I thought you died." And I was like, oh my gosh. Aww. He thought, since he didn't see me for a week and he was so little, he thought I died like his grandpa did because my dad had just passed away.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, and then that's even now, still to this day, he's 9 now.
Mm.
He still freaks out if he doesn't know where I am. Like if I go to the bathroom and I don't tell him, hey, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back, or I'm going to go take a shower, or I'm going here. If I'm not there, he freaks out. He slept in my bed for a long time, and he never did before that. But he was just so afraid that I was going somewhere. Yeah. And then it wasn't even just like sleeping in my bed. It's like holding on to my arm. You know, some part of him had to be touching me to know that I was still right there,
mm-hmm.
you know, but might need some little therapy or something. But
yeah, later in life. Well, yeah, I mean, even the fact that you are there, you know, and you were after that I feel like that makes him feel safer. You know, that's how much we need our moms.
Right.
Too.
So like I said, butter took off to the point where we didn't have to get any loans from anybody. We were able to pay all of our bills.
In the midst of
the craziest surgery and recovery and all of that. And then my husband ended up not going back to work. Butter was able to provide for him to stay and do the business full time.
Wow.
And then I was able to retire 5 months after that and do the business full time. Within a year, we had like 50 employees, 40,000 square foot facility, tons of customers. Like we have 4,000 brand ambassadors now. We have over 1.5 million orders over the last 6 years since we started. But it all started like when I thought I was on my deathbed. You know, like I remember being so scared going into that surgery and like I really wanted my dad to be there, but he'd passed away. So, you know, he wasn't available to be there, obviously. But my uncle came in. He was one of the last people I talked to. They had people come in like twos to talk to me beforehand or like see me. My whole family showed up, all my brothers and their wives and my sisters and, you know, my husband's family, they all showed up too. So they had everybody come in, you know, like a little bit at a time to talk to me beforehand. And I remember telling one of my brothers, like crying and telling him, I don't want to do this. Yeah. Like I changed my mind. And he's like, you have to, like, you have to do it. And I'm like why?
You don't want to do the nut butter business?
No, I didn't want to do the surgery.
Oh, the surgery. Like, I was scared. Okay. I'm like, wait,
yeah.
What? Oh, wow.
I didn't like, I,
because you were scared.
Yeah, it was like I knew what they were gonna do and I'm like, I don't want to do it. And he's like, well, it's too late now, like you have to, like, yeah, there's no way around it. But then my uncle came in, he was the last person that I talked to, and he prayed over me.
Oh.
And I just felt this peace. I was so worked up beforehand, you know, you're wiping yourself down with the wipes to like sanitize yourself before. And like, I kept having to go to the bathroom and like, you know, I'm just like, I was so worked up.
Yeah.
And then once he said that before they wheeled me off, I just felt this peace, like it's going to be okay. And then it has. So far I've been cancer free. Hopefully, you know, continues that way. They did say that at some point in my life, it'll most likely come back because I had it so young. And they're like, if you live to be 84, you know, most likely it's going to come back at some point in your life. We'll just cut it out again. And I'm like, okay. So I just get my scan so that if they see it, they can go back in and take it out again.
Okay. So now you're getting what, regular scans, like once a year?
Once a year. Yeah.
Okay. And it will have to be like that for...
I think for like the duration.
Okay.
I was supposed to get, like, if I would have been not as young as I was, I should have gotten scans every 3 months for like the first few years.
Okay.
But since I was so young, they did it every 6 months for the first year and then every year after that. Yeah.
Okay.
Because like too much radiation exposure isn't good over your lifetime.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm amazed by how God worked in such a, you know, incredible way.
And I feel like he works in such a way that it's like every time we pray for something, if it's a yes, like it's always like an amazing yes. Because like I said, I prayed for one baby and I got four amazing kids.
Yes.
And then The funny thing that I was praying for when butter, you know, became a thing, when I was doing like working that and, you know, working my normal job, I was also a personal trainer. I was really into health and fitness and like, you know, what I'm putting in my body, those kind of things.
Yeah.
So I was a personal trainer on the side as well.
Okay.
So like I was praying to be able to like work part time. Like I knew I'd never be able to like be a full time stay at home mom. Mm-hmm. Like it just wasn't going to be in the cards for me. So I was just praying that like, you know, Lord, let me have a little bit more time with my kids, you know? Aww. And so now he's done it on this level that's like, I get to spend all the time, all the time with my kids. I'll get to leave them this business. Like my son is training under me to be a CEO, to be the CEO when I'm done. He's 14.
Wow.
Like he listens to my marketing meetings and he checks the sales every day and what we spend on ads. And like, he's really into like the financial part of it, like not so much the marketing, which is what I do mostly is the marketing, but he likes the budgets and he like,
he can be the CFO.
Yeah.
Which that's what my husband is for me. Cause
yeah,
I'm
that's
not
what my
a,
husband
not a financial
is for me
girl.
Too. Yeah. I don't like it either, but like I have to learn to be like, because I have to like watch all aspects of everything.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see like what things they're into. Mm-hmm. And so like one of my kids, he's really into like making videos. Like he, since he was 6 years old, he's been filming his own videos, editing them, like has a YouTube channel, you know what I mean?
What?
Like, and we do a lot of videography and photography for our business. Uh-huh. And we have another business that we do that for other people. Like we make commercials and like, you know, it's called American Mayhem Productions, but we do all the things that we do for American Dream. We offer for other people.
Wow.
We have a printing company where we make like banners, flyers, promo cards. We make our own labels. Like we do all of our stuff in-house. Like we have that vertical integration where we do everything for ourselves. And so now we offer those services to other people. So we kind of have like a business that we'll be able to give each kid based on what their interests are.
Wow. That's just incredible. Like how, like you said, God takes in when he says yes. It's such a huge yes. And that reminds me of my leap of faith too. All I prayed for is like, God, I want to do what I love doing, which is fashion and beauty. And if I can just make the insurance, because for both of us, you know, being an entrepreneur, you know, we have to pay private insurance and you have all of your, you know,
I can't
cancer
get
issues.
It.
It's all the same. Because that's all
right?
I can have right now.
Yeah.
And so my husband's now 60. So he had to go on, like no insurance wants to take him anymore. So there's all of those things. And I remember like wanting to get out of my job at that time. My husband had his own business, always had. And he's like, if you can make the insurance payments for us to have private insurance, then you have the goal, you know, to do it. That was my prayer. God, I just need to make insurance money.
Yeah.
And here's where we are right now, you know, with this podcast, which, you know, I have my company, which is a fashion and beauty lifestyle. And he gave me this space too, which is not, it's not a money making, but it's more than that. You know, it's really, like I like to say, it's my legacy. It's what I want to leave for the kids. It's this, you know, life-changing stories like yours is so incredible. And hopefully it will touch someone who's wanting to start a business or someone who is in their quote unquote deathbed thinking that that's it. It doesn't have to be it. It doesn't. There's more, you know.
And I will say too, like, that was the thing, like, it sounds drastic to be like, you know, you're on your deathbed and now you have like this big success. And I feel like success looks different for everyone because like, we don't really have a financial success because we put everything back into it, or we have our American Heroes program where we're donating to veterans and first responders and shipping care packages overseas. My main mission in life is to be able to donate $10 million a year. And like, that's what God put that number on my heart for some reason. So this whole time, like this whole 6 years, my goal is to donate $10 million a year.
Wow.
And I want to do it on an individual basis. So like not donating to like the different charities that we do now. I love the charities we support, but we've had like, we've been blessed to be able to help some people like just with our own money. Like we had this friend that we know who's a veteran. He had a son that had a terminal brain tumor.
Okay.
And he was having to travel, every day from New Hampshire to Boston. And so he was like 6 years old, I think, and he hated going back and forth, like the long drive and things like that.
Yeah.
It is a lot. And his parents couldn't work because they were taking him back and forth, you know, and they had other kids too that they were like leaving with their grandparents.
Oh my gosh.
And so we took our kids to the store and we let them pick out things they thought that he would like to do. His name was Nash. Mm-hmm. They picked out a Nintendo DS for him and a bunch of games and coloring books and like little things to keep him like occupied on the drive and during the treatment too.
Wow.
And then we were able to pay his parents' bills for a couple of months while he was in treatment so that they didn't have that to worry about. Mm-hmm. We also helped someone, a young man with ALS, which is what my grandfather died of, Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm-hmm. He's a young man that has that. And we were able to like help him, you know, like with a wheelchair and like get some other things just out of our own money. And so that's what I want to do is have our own foundation. It's called the American Mayhem Family Foundation or American Dream Family Foundation. I want to get that going so that we can use those funds to like really see who we're helping and like really be involved in our community at a deeper level than just like donating to the charity. And then they do, you know, what they do with it. And we do contribute to some that are like fantastic charities, but it just is a calling that I have to be the one to do it.
Wow.
You know, and so like that's my overarching goal. And so, like I said, if I was doing this for the money, I would have stayed in ultrasound tech.
Oh, like, absolutely. I made the really good money doing that. It's like, it's like, it's in, like you said, it's so many ups and downs that sometimes you have low seasons that you're thinking, how am I going to pay my employees?
How am I going to pay, you know, how can we pay the rent on the building? How are we going to pay the people? Yes. And so like, and that's what people don't see.
That, no,
like,
they only see the beautiful sides of it. Oh, it
what
must
we
be
let
nice.
People see.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But we still live in the same house we did when we were in ultrasound tech and my husband installed garage doors. Like, we love our house. We love our neighbors. So we just, you know,
I feel the same way too.
Have stayed there. Yeah. And we just, not that we give it away, but it's like, that's what I feel like my calling is to help other people.
Yes.
And so I was really scared to leave my job, actually. My husband had to make me. Wow. He's like, if you don't quit, he said, I'm either calling your boss and telling him that you quit or butter's done. He's like, I'm not doing all this. Yeah. He's like, you can't do both anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, like, I'll do it. But like, I got so much, like, it just felt like that was so much a part of me. Mm-hmm. Like, my job, my self-worth was completely tied up in my job and helping people every single day. Like, I was diagnosing people's cancers. I was, you know, telling them that their baby didn't have a heartbeat or that it did, or it's a boy, it's a girl, so you know, like, I felt a lot of like joy from what I did. And, you know, I'd have some patient come in who was just the biggest grump. They were having like, you know, the worst person. Mm-hmm. And I'd just be like, I'd put my smile on. I'm like, I'm Leah. I'm going to do your ultrasound, you know, blah, blah, blah. I would have them completely turned around by the time it was done that they were like, you know, thank you. I was having the worst day. And I'm like, oh, really? Like, I couldn't tell.
I was going to say, I could tell.
Yeah. No, I couldn't tell. You were great.
Like, but see, you are helping people in such a different way now. Yeah. You know, you're like still
on such a bigger scale. Like, we have people who've lost hundreds of pounds using our products. Or I had a mother write me a letter saying that I helped her daughter, like, helped her daughter survive. She was in the hospital, anorexic, on a feeding tube, and afraid to eat any food except for our nut butters. She gained 30 pounds and was able to leave the hospital and, like, has a thriving life. Like, her and I became friends. Her daughter, she's a brand ambassador of ours. And so we would talk all the time because, like, I also have had anorexia and this thing called ARFID, where it's, like, avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, where it's, like, you're afraid of food because, like, everything made me sick. So then it made me afraid to eat it. Like, even after cancer made me afraid to eat it. And so she has the same thing. So we would be texting each other back and forth. Like, I tried a new food today. The bloating's unreal. You know, and she'd be like, try peppermint tea. And then I tell her, okay, you use a heating pad. Like, that helps me.
Oh, my gosh.
And so now, like, now I just saw, like, because we still follow each other and, like, talk occasionally. Like, she's has a boyfriend. She's traveling all around the world. And, like, she's kind of like me, was, like, almost on her deathbed, like, in the hospital on a feeding tube. Wow. And, like, it's not just the products helping people, but it's this, like, family that we've built of people who are, like, closer to me than my actual family. Mm-hmm. Just from this, like, we call them the butter fam. But those, like, ambassadors or the customers, and you get to know each other. And
because you guys are so generous, you know, and that's what he wants. Ultimately, he doesn't want us to have successful businesses so we can fill our pockets with money. You know, it's like just being this not a reservoir, but a river, right? Yeah. And spread the blessings. And I mean, that's got to be such an incredible feeling to be able to know that you've really helped someone. Yeah. in that level.
It is. And I will say too, like you said, that God doesn't promise that we won't have hard roads or mm-hmm. stuff like that. I actually feel like you have a harder road when you're a Christian, because the devil wants to attack.
Oh, yes.
So then I'm like, I know I'm onto something here, because mm-hmm. he is like attacking majorly, you know, yeah. like even today, you know, supposed to come be on this podcast. I've been so excited about it, because we have so much in common, so yes. much alike, and there's nothing I like more than talking about God and what he has done for us. Aww. Like, it's my greatest thing is to tell my testimony. Mm-hmm. And so today I start passing a kidney stone. Like, what are the odds?
Oh my, you know, gosh. What I mean?
So I'm like, not there's today.
There's a spiritual battle
not
happening.
Not today. Yes, yeah. yes. I'm getting there no matter what. So like,
I really think that this, your story is going to touch a lot of lives.
I hope so. That's what it makes going through all these hard things worth it, mm-hmm. when you can help somebody else, because you're like, oh, I've been down that road and now I'm on the other side.
Yes.
You know, like, it does get better, you know, just have faith and, you know.
Yes. So how can we order the nut? Is it online?
Yep. It's okay. only online at AmericanDreamNutButter.com.
Okay.
So you just go to our website and...
I was checking it out. So you guys have like different things for weight loss and for protein, high protein diets yeah. and things like that.
Yeah. So my thing is that we have a butter for every body.
Oh.
Because there's so many different food intolerances out there. There's so many different like diets that people are following, mm-hmm. you know, so we have something for like the super clean eating people, which is who I was before I had cancer.
Okay.
I was one of those people that I've never drank. I've never smoked. Like, the way that I grew up, I'm like, I'm not doing those things, you know? So like, I never eat junk food, like, mm-hmm. and I still had cancer. So like, I could not wrap my head around that,
yes.
but like, I did everything perfect and I still had cancer. So now I live a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I go more for like the ones, like, they have protein added, but they have cookies on the top. They okay. have, you know, so it's yes. like my favorite Balance. One right now. Yeah. Is cake batter ice cream crunch. Mm. And so it's a high protein cashew butter that tastes like cake batter ice cream,
oh,
but it also has, it also has frosting and like chocolate chip cookies and, you know, sprinkles and all that stuff that are on the top that you like mix into it.
Okay.
So then you do get some like what people would call bad for you things okay. in there, because it has a chocolate chip cookie crumbled up on the top and sprinkles that have like artificial food coloring in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the butter base itself is just the nuts, Green. Sea salt, protein, you know, and I make our own protein. Like, I order, yeah, we have protein powder as well that I flavor and make ourselves.
Wow.
And everything is made in Indiana, or not in Indiana, in the United States.
Okay.
So like, I order the protein from a company in Minnesota. They raise their cows right there in Minnesota and process the protein there. And so then I get it and add the flavorings and all that stuff in our facility. And it's like, you know, flavors like we have for our butter, like confetti cake pop and double fudge brownie and
wow. like, so do you super sell the clean. Proteins too?
Yes, we sell the proteins and flavored collagens too.
Wow.
So that's why I say we have something for everyone. The proteins are very clean, like just sweetened with stevia and monk fruit, 25 grams of protein, 100% whey isolate mm-hmm. so that it doesn't have lactose, because I have IBS. So I try to gear all of our products to be IBS friendly.
Wow.
So there's even like, even though there's sugar in some of them, it's not enough to trigger, you know, you to have IBS symptoms, or we have a lot of bariatric patients.
Okay.
And they all say that they can eat all of our products because there's not enough sugar in them to make them have like what's called dumping syndrome.
Wow.
Where like their bile just like dumps into their intestines when they eat certain foods.
Okay.
They say that our products don't make them do that. So we have a Simply Clean line that has like just the peanuts or almonds, cashews, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and sea salt. Or ones that are just like sweetened with natural sugar or sweetened with stevia with no toppings on it.
Okay.
For the people who are super clean, we have, you know, the fun ones that I like that are high protein. We have ones that are super high protein, like 13 grams of protein in one serving.
Wow.
And less than 1 gram of sugar.
I love it. I cannot
so,
wait.
Like,
you're
everybody.
Saying this and like my stomach is grumbling. Like, I cannot wait to just go in. And then you were mentioning before that you guys ship everywhere, or mm-hmm. like internet, because it's nationwide, but also
yeah, worldwide.
Worldwide,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
So you can ship, like you said, you ship to Canada a lot.
Yeah, Canada a lot and the UK the okay. most.
Wow.
And then Australia and like, you know. We've shipped to Switzerland, Sweden, China,
that is
Thailand, what a, like everywhere. It's crazy to see because, like, I don't print our shipping labels anymore, but I used to, like, back when I was doing everything, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, Mark, we got somebody in Brazil. Like,
oh my gosh, you know,
and so,
cool.
Now, it's actually my sister-in-law who prints most of, like, the shipping labels now. Okay. Like, she runs our shipping department, and she'll text me and be like, Leah, we got somebody from, you know, Paraguay or, you know, wherever. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I'm,
and it's a
little
family
map,
business,
you know?
Too.
Like, yeah. Like, you guys, my brothers work for me, my sister-in-law, my sisters, my, my nephew, like, we've been his first and only job. Like, he started working for us when he was 14, I think. And now he's 20.
Wow.
And still works for us. But
I'm amazed. But yeah. I really am. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm like, I just want to get up and go do more than what I already do. Because this is just so incredible to know that, you know, you did something out of your bad news.
Right.
Something incredible like this.
And it gives you something to be thankful for your bad news. I feel like that's something that people need to learn, that, like, even though bad things happen, like, bad things happen to everybody, you have to find a silver lining. You have to find something good in the bad or you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, if you just focus on the bad, that's all you're going to see is everything bad.
Or you're going to be miserable, right? Just leave like a grump.
Yeah. And I had this message today. Like, I do a daily devotional, like a different daily devotional every day. And today's message was about speaking over your life. You can speak death or you can speak life.
Yes.
And I called my husband, like, after I read that, I sent it to him, and then I called him and I said, I just had this devotional today that was talking about, you know, speaking death or speaking life. And I'm like, I think we're speaking wrongly, you know, about this, because, like, you know, we are kind of in a slump right now, and we keep being like, oh my gosh, like, we're spending too much on marketing versus what we're getting back and all these things. And so we're like, you know, how are we going to pay the employees? How are we going to do this? And I'm like, we need to start speaking life.
God will provide.
He always has. Like, we need to keep that faith. And he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, this morning when I got up, he's like, I did something that I never do. He said, but this morning when I got up, I kept saying in my head, it's going to be a good day.
Aww.
It's going to be a good day. And I'm like, that is so crazy. He was speaking to both of us the same message differently.
I love, God is very interesting. His ways are so incredible. Yeah. And I feel this way too. Like, when sometimes my husband is the one, I'm usually like, everything's going to be okay. And he's like, well, but realistically, look at this, da, da, da.
Yeah.
And,
us too.
You know, and I don't want to be delusional, but I feel like, it's God's, there's such a way of, like, I know that he's taking care of us. He's not going to leave us, you know, down in the...
And sometimes he takes away things that aren't serving you anymore.
Yes. Or give you a shake. I feel like last season I had such a big shake of, like, I was not stewarding his blessings well. Mm-hmm. I was just doing some things that were, you know, he's like, hey, this is not why I'm blessing you.
Yeah.
You know, like, rethink some things that you're doing. And even, like, being lazy about some things too, that I feel like I could have been doing a better job at. And so he took it away for a moment of, like, hey, wake up, you know. And I know that he's there too. I know that. And having these conversations with him all day of, like, why is this happening, God? And he will show us, right?
But I told my husband, I'm like, maybe we're not being humble enough. Maybe we got this attitude of, we know what we're doing. God's going to show you, no, that was me blessing you. And now I'm taking it away. Let's see how much you know.
Yes.
And I'm like, God, I don't know anything.
No,
like,
exactly.
Give it back. I know nothing.
I totally relate with you too. Just get in this prideful moment. And the moment that we stop learning, I feel like, we're dead.
Yeah.
Right? The moment that you don't want to learn anymore, which is, there's always something there, even if it's not something that we like or appreciate, it's like, there's always something to learn.
And I do feel like also, like, with, you know, where we've come now and probably where you are too, a lot of people give you a lot of praise, you know, look at what you've done, look at how far you've come. Yeah. And I always turn it back and I'm like, nope, God did this.
That, I'm 100% sure.
And they're like, but
his.
you need to take credit. You work hard. And then I'm like, I do, but God gave me the ability to work hard. He gave me the gift of making this nut butter. Yes. Like, who knows? Like, nobody else can flavor these things like this. Like, this is my gift.
Yes.
Like, how some people are super good at basketball, like Michael Jordan, or, you know.
Oh, it's definitely a God gift.
Yeah. This is my gift.
Yeah.
And I used to think I had none. When I was an ultrasound tech, like, my patients would ask me, like, you know, we'd be talking about different things and we'd get to talking about our family. And I'm like, you know, my brothers are so great. Like, they all, like, they can play an instrument or they can sing. They're, you know, an artist. Like one of my brothers is like an artist. He could draw your portrait right here and look just wow. like you. And I'm like, I have no talent. Aww. Like I have no gift. And then they were like, this is your gift. Like you made my, you know, made Speak this experience. Life, right? So, you know, so, but it's so funny. I would say that I had no gift. And yeah. then when I could do this, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a gift. It. Like nice. This is That's it. Amazing. It only took me 34 years to find it, but
yes, you know. But you found it. It's never yeah. too late.
So that's like, yeah, just always like if you have something that you think is like, oh, I did this, I'm super good at this because I worked hard and I learned. Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. Like, I don't negate that, but God gave you the ability to do that.
Yes, 100%. Okay, well, thank you so much for being here. This is has been incredible talking to you. Would you like to pray for us?
Yes, dear God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for me being able to meet Karina today. This was such a blessing for me. I hope it was a blessing for her too. I hope that you keep guiding our lives, guiding our business, show us what to do with our businesses and be good stewards of the blessings that you give us. Always keep you at the center of everything that we do. And we love you and we would love you to bless everybody. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touches you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Karina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.